Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution. Did Craig Venter create artificial life? Hello and welcome to ID the Future. This is Annika Smith, and today we're listening to an excerpt from an interview on the Albert Mohler Program featuring CSC Director Stephen Meyer, author of the recent book Signature in the Cell. Listen in as Meyer discusses the latest headlines with radio host Albert Mohler.
This is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program, broadcasting today live from Birmingham, Alabama. Big story in the news, of course. The question, has man created life? It's the title of my article published today at albertmohler.com. You can find my article there. It deals with the announcement coming from Craig Venter and his associates that they have synthesized artificial life. It's a big story. It's getting all kinds of headlines. And the headlines, by their diversity, tell you something of how this story is being interpreted. The Financial Times headline, scientists create synthetic life form with a computer and four bottles of chemicals. Long headline tells a story. The Wall Street Journal announced scientists create synthetic organism. The New York Times was considerably more restrained. Synthetic bacterial genome takes over a cell, researchers report. Reading that headline, most people might not even go on to read the story. But the opposite approach was taken by The Economist of London. The headline, cover story, and man-made life, the first artificial organism and its consequences. One of the biggest things that comes immediately to mind with this is whether it's a big story or not. Is this really something of significance? And the bottom line is that scientifically it certainly is a significant technological breakthrough, and something artificial is going here. This is the longest synthesizing of a DNA sequence, no doubt about it. But a lot of the headlines are really saying more than is actually going on. We're not actually talking about a fully developed artificial life, you might say, made from scratch or from the ground up. What Venter's associates did was to take a bacterial cell and remove all of its internal contents, retaining the mitochondrial skeleton, the exoskeleton, more or less, of the cell, and they replaced it with synthesized DNA. DNA, actually, that was programmed by a computer, complete with a watermark with the website of Venter and Associates on it. And it began to replicate. That's the big news. This artificially sequenced, synthesized DNA as a bacterium began to replicate. And thus, it shows signs of life. But let's be very clear. They used organic material to make it. It's not as if they just made it ex nihilo or even out of non-organic materials. But this is one of those big worldview issues that immediately is getting attention. And we need a bit of scientific definition here. We're going to have some help in the next segment. Stephen Meyer, the Discovery Institute, is going to come on and explain to us why this is a big story and what it means and what it doesn't mean. You have immediately people jumping to the conclusion, this is scientists trying to play God. I'm going to argue they're basically right. And there are some very significant issues that Christians ought to be concerned about and aware of here. I have been flooded with emails and requests to talk about this and deal with it, and that's why I published the article this morning at albertmohler.com. The article's entitled, Has Man Created Life? The answer is no, but is this a significant scientific step? The answer is yes. Are there significant concerns about it? You bet. We're going to be talking about that in just a few moments. Stephen Meyer will help us to figure that out. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. The cover story in The Economist this week, available on newsstands, pretty much tells the story of how at least some in the media are interpreting the news out of Craig Venter and Associates at his lab. The cover story is, and man-made life, the first artificial organism and its consequences. Very interestingly, also in the newsstands right now, Scientific American is a cover story on 12 events that will change everything, future events. Well, talk about some bad timing. It turns out that even as one of the 12 events indicated by Scientific American that would change the future, one of them is the development of synthetic biology and the breakthrough that was announced, well, just a few days before that hit the newsstands. Craig Vintner and his associates announcing that they had synthesized a bacterium that had begun to replicate, and thus they are claiming to have created a form of new life. I wrote about this on my website today at albertmiller.com. The title of the article, Has Man Created Life? I raise a host of issues in there. But we need a scientist to help us figure this out. No one better than Stephen C. Meyer, who is director of the Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. He holds a doctorate from Cambridge University and is well established as a scientist and observer of such things. Stephen Meyer, welcome to the Albert Miller Program.
Great to be with you, Al.
Yeah, tell me, just the bottom line, I just have to ask you, if someone came up to you on the street and said, is this a big deal, how would you answer?
No. it's a technological achievement, but it is not the, change in the heartbeat of biology. And one writer at The Guardian that you quoted in your blog today, which was excellent, by the way, Andrew Brown, described this as the moment of complete victory for materialism. And it's quite the opposite if it's anything at all. It shows what you have, what's actually happened is that Vintner was able to replace a piece of naturally occurring DNA, copy it outside of the cell, and then put the copy, the synthesized copy of the DNA molecule into the cell, and then the cell's pre-existing protein synthesis machinery took over and produced the proteins that DNA typically encodes for. It'd be like popping a copy of a CD into a computer and then finding that the computer could read the copy as well as the original. That certainly doesn't show that the person who had copied the information onto another CD had built the computer. That would not be what you'd conclude from that. And what's going on here is that people have a really impoverished view of what constitutes life. It's a reductionist view that says that this DNA runs the whole show. And DNA is very important. It has all kinds of information. The information is stored in a 4-character digital code. I think that provides very compelling evidence of intelligent design. I've just written a book about that topic. But what's going on here is pre-existing information is being copied synthetically by an intelligent agent and then put into a whole complex functionally integrated system that we call life, and the living system uses that inert chemical storing the information to produce what that information usually encodes for, which is proteins.
Stephen, let me just tell you, one of the things that I thought of when I looked at this, and by the way, that very wording you used there, I took out and put in my article this morning precisely because, if anything, this is hardly a moment of complete victory for materialism. I agree with you that this is another indication, I think, of the fact that the world is divinely designed, and certainly life itself is divinely encoded. But, you know, there's something else here. Let me just tell you, just in something I think our listeners can understand here very easily. A lot of people like to watch these survival shows on cable television, and they try to present this as if this guy is really out in the outback of Australia and he really might die. They fail to point out that there's an entire camera crew following him around is the only way we have any knowledge of this. Well, you know, this whole thing about artificial life, well, you know, and a complete victory for materialism, this was done by intelligent human beings. And yet, those intelligent human beings who are hardly merely material actually had to use organic material to make this happen. One of the things you left out in your sequencing of how they did this was they actually also had to bring in yeast.
Exactly. Well, one of the things that I discuss in my book, I make a case for intelligent design based on the information-bearing properties of DNA. It's a striking 4-character digital code. Our local hero here in Seattle, Bill Gates, says it's like a software program, only much more complex than any we've ever devised. If you think about that, it's very suggestive. We know that programs come from programmers. We know that information generally comes from an intelligent source. And so I've argued that the discovery of information in DNA, which is necessary but not sufficient to produce every organism on Earth, is a compelling evidence of intelligent design, of a prior designing intelligence. What have these gentlemen just illustrated? if at the very most, they've illustrated the need for intelligence to produce new information.
Yep.
They were the key actors in this, but they're not even producing information from scratch, novel information. They're essentially plagiarizing what was there. So it's not even intelligent design; it's intelligent plagiarism. And then when you provide that copy of that pre-existing information to the cell, guess what? It can use it, and it can do with it what it normally does, which really shows that DNA is not the whole show. It's critical, it's necessary, but it's not sufficient to life. And the information processing system, the protein synthesis machinery, the cell membrane, and the functional integration of all those different parts and subsystems of living systems is immensely complicated, and we really don't have even a handle on what it would take to produce a cell from scratch.
Okay. Now, Dr. Meyer, you are the director of the Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. I want to zero in on the science and culture angle of this for a moment. Let me ask you straightforwardly. Why is there a desire among some in the press to present this as something bigger than it actually is? What's going on there from the cultural perspective?
Well, that's where I think, you and your astute audience will be onto this. It's a worldview issue. There's a default worldview in our elite culture. It is, as this writer from The Guardian termed it, materialism. The idea that matter and energy are the end-all and be-all, the thing from which everything else comes, and the ultimate explanatory principle in all of our experience. And so what gets written out in that is the idea of mind, of purpose, of the possible existence of God. Materialism assumes that only matter and energy are ultimately important. So if the materialist view is that life can be explained in its present operation by reference to matter and motion entirely, and that its origin can be explained by reference to matter and motion entirely. But there's an obvious fallacy in trying to make this discovery support that philosophy, and that is that you have an intelligent designer at work. His name is Craig Venter. He's a very brilliant guy. But and I like your analogy that you gave a minute ago about the camera. You're filming the realistic survival experience out in the outback, but you forget you got cameras and you got food trucks and you got everything else. What scientists forget in the lab with things like this is the role of their own intelligence in directing and
Absolutely.
Achieving the results that they do. And it was one of the themes that I struck in Signature in the Cell was I had several chapters on various attempts to simulate the undirected origin of life from the prebiotic soup, from simple inorganic chemicals. But in each of these syntheses, the scientists invariably forgot the role of themselves and the role of their
Absolutely.
Own intelligent design in moving life or chemicals in a life-friendly direction. And I think you have something very similar going on here.
That was Stephen Meyer, interviewed by Albert Mohler, on the intelligent design that went into the recent experiments on artificial life. For more information on this topic, visit www.idthefuture.com and click on the links. For ID the Future, this is Annika Smith with the CSC in Seattle. Thanks for listening. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2010. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.